Episode 232, February 22nd, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
It's Rob, it's Joe, it's Marcus, but it's no Robbie tonight, which means no Chapman.
Robbie was too busy. He said he was stressed, he had to make choices, and the choice, sorry about that, I just had my phone on. The choice was to not participate in the Rob and Joe show. Now, yeah. I don't know what's involved in starting chat, I don't. I'll bet you it's probably hitting two buttons, but I texted Robbie and he won't respond, so.
We normally start the show at 7:30 on Monday night, live, with the chat involved. But we haven't heard from Robbie, so we started at 7:20. So there's a chance in the first 10 minutes he's going to frantically call us and yell at us. And I'm kind of hoping that happens. That'll be good radio.
Yeah, you did say. Now, I knew he was too busy to do the show. I knew that he was. But then we said Marcus is going to do it. And sometimes when he doesn't have to really do anything, he'll show up. So you sent him a message asking him if he would be on.
Yeah.
And he purposely avoided that part. Now, by the way, if he
I sent him
me
a text
email,
message with two questions, two separate
right.
issues, and he answered one and ignored the one.
If he sends me a message and I don't see part of it, he lets me have, I mean, literally lets me have it. Like I'm the most disrespectful dick. I don't care about his time, blah, 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 right? But he's either done the same thing that he's so critical of me for doing, or this is a passive aggressive move. I don't, you know, Robbie, who knows? He might be trying to teach us a lesson. I'm not exactly sure.
What would Robbie be like as a parent? Because he seems to like teaching lessons, which is, you know, that's what parents do, right? You're trying to show your children the right way and teach some things. But we're not his kids. But would he be a good parent because of that, or would he be impossible?
So, you know, Robbie, I remember Robbie saying to me one time, I'll never have kids. I'm too selfish. And I literally thought, I was so proud of him. I thought that that was one of the most self-aware things that I had ever heard anyone say. But then, you know, there was a short period. You know, Robbie's had so many marriages. Obviously, some of these wives are going to have children.
Right.
And there was a time when he was married and he had three kids. And he was an outstanding dad. So that kind of flew in the face of what he had thought he would have been. I thought he was right when he decided not to have kids, and then I was proud of him when he had kids. But right now, if he's too busy to do the show, I understand that. But all we're saying is, oh, now there's no work for you to do. Are you going to be on? Maybe you could turn the chat room on, but he won't. And by the way, if you say, hey, what happened? He's going to scream at you and say, I told you that I was too busy. I'm telling you that right now. So you have to just – it is what it is. You can't even invite him to things at this point.
The hard part about doing the show is – the editing it, you know that's well documented that we have some Skype issues from time to time. it's editing it and then adding in some sound effects if you so desire, and then naming the episode, writing the bio, putting it up. That's the hard part, which Marcus is doing. So the easy part, and the only one that can do this, is Robbie, because he has the setup at his house, is to get us online in our chat room and allow them to listen to the show and participate. And they love Robbie, but somehow they'll blame us for this and not him.
Yeah, and again, I understand if he doesn't have time. The other day, I was too sick to even talk on this microphone. I was too sick. So I get that you're too busy or there's some compelling event where you can't participate. I get that. But I did talk to Robbie today, and there were message emails going back and forth, and so did you. So there was time for him to say, no, I won't even be on. There was time.
And he has been producing some awesome flyers for us for our upcoming murder mystery, some of his best work. So he's definitely working and kicking ass for stuff that we need to do. We're just hoping that he could have logged in and press play. But whatever.
Yeah, I can't be too critical because you're right. He's not only do I need him, but he's also kicking ass. So
yeah, because we've announced it's on the website April 3rd, McGoobie's Joke House, our superhero-themed murder mystery called Superhero Homicide, Dawn of Death Dealer. It'll be April 3rd at McGoobie's, just confirmed today, at the Arlington Draft House, April 29th. There'll be more dates after that, but those are two of our main clubs, so it's good to get the ball rolling with them. Before we get into, because we had some funny stories from Winchester this past week, I got to do this Scott Apple stuff. I guess we talked about it last week, if he could name 10 female musicians ever, right? And you talked to him at work, and Joe, you said it took him about an hour, but he was able to do it.
I have the list in the
it's
order.
It's a bizarre list. Please read the list.
So the first name that he said was Dolly Parton. That was the first name.
Okay, huge, huge star.
The second name that he said was Madonna.
Also, that's a household name.
Lady Gaga, Adele, Miley Cyrus. Those are his five.
Contemporary A-listers.
Now there's a delay. There's a stall. And the next name he says is Yoko Ono.
That's the curveball. Because I guess she's technically a musician, but you don't think of her.
Then he says Carrie Underwood, which is a little unfair because this is what the impetus is. He didn't even know who Carrie Underwood was. Now he knows, of course, because he went home to his wife and said, hey, do you know who Carrie Underwood is? And she goes, of course I know who Carrie Underwood is. So that would be his seventh name. He then came up with Britney Spears and eventually Taylor Swift. Now this is over a period of, say, I don't want to exaggerate, 6 to 7 minutes.
Okay.
Now, he can't come up with a 10th girl in the history of music. And he's thinking, what's that one girl thinks she should be more famous than she is? She sings Diamonds in S&M. He's thinking of Rihanna.
Right.
I don't know Rihanna thought she should be more popular than she is, but that's because I couldn't come up with a name. It doesn't matter.
Rihanna's super popular, so I don't know. So he couldn't get Rihanna.
He came up with his 10th. And his eyes lit up because he was excited. And he goes, oh, Barbara Streisand. So now, it took him about 10 minutes, but the list is Dolly Parton, Madonna, Lady Gaga, Adele, Miley Cyrus, Yoko Ono, Carrie Underwood, Britney Spears, Taylor Swift, Barbara Streisand. Those are the 10 that he came.
So you called me and told me that. And now we're on a speaker, all three of us. And it dawned on me that that's a really, really white list. I mean, Yoko Ono, the one exception, but he named pretty much every contemporary big pop star that's white.
Who is white.
Right. He didn't name Beyonce, who is either 1 or 1A with Adele in terms of fame. He thought of Rihanna, but couldn't come up with her name. So then I asked the question, can you name...
No Nicki Minaj. No
Nicki Minaj, right? You could even say Janet Jackson, who's, not as big now, but still household name, to be honest. And then I said to him, can you name 5 black musicians in history, excluding Beyonce, because I've just mentioned her. So now you have, you know, there's black people are doing really well in music. Okay. It's not like
there's, yeah, there's not a like, few black people that sing. Right.
Right. It's not like name five black golfers. Okay. So it's an easy question. So I'm going to ask you this, Marcus, because try to think of the worst possible first answer someone could give. First of all, that means they're not black. So that's the right, one right. bad thing. Try to think of the whitest musician you could think of.
Wow, I would have gone right to Adele, but that's really current.
Yeah, but Adele's kind of hip, though. Yeah, I'm talking about the whitest.
Yes. Black people love Adele.
Oh, how about the one, and shoot, she just won for Best New Artist, and I can't remember her name. She's a pop singer. She was a YouTube sensation first.
Not her.
Yeah, you're not doing a good job, Marcus, because even if you said the guy who sang Gangnam Style, at least that's a hip-hop song. You have to think of the whitest man in a genre that wouldn't interest black people at all. The furthest that you can get away from black people. That's what his first guess was.
So we're thinking like Garth Brooks.
Well, that's not a bad guess. It's not country, though.
It's not a bad guess. But
think more show-tuny, effeminate.
Effeminate, yes.
Oh, man. I don't know my and show tunes. That's no, Rob Spiewak. Because I immediately go to Wolverine and the guy who was in La Cage aux Foes.
Well, I'm just going to tell you.
Go ahead.
He let off. Again, you have the choice of every black musician that's ever existed other than Beyonce. And he says, Barry Manilow. And then he says, is that the guy with the deep voice?
Yes. Now, in his defense, he was confusing him with Barry White.
Right.
However, they're probably the two opposite ends of the spectrum. I would say only if one was a female, but obviously Barry Manilow is super effeminate as well. But yeah, he confused Barry Manilow with Barry White. Now,
even Barry White would be an odd first choice. Barry White's
it would be.
You know,
it would be
pretty famous. But he's not Michael Jackson.
It's weird where he goes with his first, the actual black person he names. His first guess that he got right was Louis Armstrong.
Right.
And I think that's because he loves the song What a Wonderful World. He loves it. And as a result, he knows who sings it, Louis Armstrong. His next two are Dr. Dre and Tupac.
Well, now, if you just think of rappers, you're probably going to get a black person. So he probably went right to
that. The next person that he said, I wish I could make a guess something, but he says, what's the name of the guy that sings Cheeseburger in Paradise? Now, even if you don't know who Jimmy Buffett is, who hears the song Cheeseburger in Paradise and thinks that's a Motown?
That's a that soul brother like, number.
Is that, who is that? So now, again, he's making a mistake. He's confusing. Who do you think he's confusing Jimmy Buffett with?
Is it Jimi Hendrix?
Jimi Hendrix, correct.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Of course, he couldn't pull the name Jimi Hendrix. So he then says, eventually, Michael Jackson.
Well, no, what happened was I said, Scott, you're forgetting the person who's the most famous person of our lifetime. And there's no question.
Right.
Who's probably even today, who's dead, is still the most famous person on the planet. And And finally, Michael Jackson. And then I said, hey, there's two super Hall of Fame, upper echelon, black, blind musicians. Couldn't get Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder.
Couldn't.
So here's my question to you, Joe.
1 minute, you forgot he finally got the fifth. You know,
oh, that's
got?
I forgot. No,
you don't remember the fifth? Prince.
Okay, Prince. Okay, well, at least I mean that's a an A-lister. So he finally got that. By the way, he didn't know
Louis Armstrong, yes. Dr. Dre, Tupac, Michael Jackson, and Prince. That's his list.
Yep. Who's more upset? The Barry Manilow fan that goes to the show and it's. The Barry White fan that goes to the show and it's Barry Manilow, or the Hendrix fan that goes to the show and it's Jimmy Buffett?
Wow.
That's easy. It's the guy.
It is?
Oh, yeah. If I'm going to see Hendrix and I show up and it's Jimmy Buffett, oh, I'm throwing things.
I agree. And there'll be more white people at Hendrix, and white people tend to throw things more, I think, on a stage than black people do.
Yeah. I mean, it's also be pretty bad if you were going to see, because I would imagine that most of the Barry White fans are going to be, aren't they going to be older black women? Now, Barry White's dead. Correct,
time, it's so still going to be an R&B. It's still going to be a slower, more casual vibe. Hendrix, you're going right to just go crazy.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. A lot of people are going to have their state's going to be altered. They might be medicated a little bit, which
yes, there's going to be more
leads you to do some. Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't know if you can. You may never be able to meet another. You'll never meet another person in your life, even if you ask everyone you ever meet, who thinks that both Barry Manilow and Jimmy Buffett are black. I mean, it's just not possible, right? He's the only one in the world.
I remember hearing the story back decades and decades ago that the Apollo had booked Buddy Holly. They're like, well, clearly this is a black. Now, of course, if you listen to Buddy Holly's music today, you're like, clearly he's not a black guy. You know what I mean? And that story kind of makes me a little bit crazy because I never understood, really. How was that? How were they confused by that? But maybe Scott Apple was booking the Apollo.
Oh, Scott Apple. He's, you know what? He's awful at being a lawyer on our show, but he's really good at music stuff. He never lets us down. Barry Manilow, Jimmy. What if you go and you see it's Jimmy Buffett on guitar with Barry Manilow. That's who you got to see. No Hendrix. No Barry White. Cheeseburger in Paradise. How could you think that's a black guy? I mean, that's just ridiculous to me. He knows the name of the song.
That's also, where is that in terms of most famous? I mean, obviously Margaritaville's Jimmy Buffett's biggest song, right?
Yes.
Maybe Cheeseburger in Paradise is too. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably number two. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Wild and wonderful Winchester, Virginia. We did the murder mystery there, and it was interesting. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, February 26th at the Tally Ho Theater in Leesburg, Virginia. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit facebook.com/DieLaughingProductions or robinjoe.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
We did the Alamo Draft House, which is a cool chain draft house multiplex. They have like first run movies. It's not like Arlington, which is one giant theater with, you know, not showing first run movies. So it's a newer, cleaner.
Yeah, Deadpool was playing there when we showed up.
Yeah. And it's as most country we've been, right? You would say, and all our shows.
You lived in Winchester for how long?
I graduated from Clark County High School in Berryville. I lived there 1 year, which is 10 miles away. And then I lived in Winchester for probably 6-7 years after that.
Wow.
Maybe longer. Maybe 8 or 9 years, to be honest.
Wow. I didn't realize you were there that long.
Yeah, because I started doing comedy at age 24 and I lived there. Yeah, I might have been there right out of high school. Yeah. So 17, yeah, probably 8 years.
So you knew a lot of people there, and you had expected a lot of people, a lot of friends of yours to come to the show.
Well, you know how it is with friends. I had 5 people, I believe, show up. My dad showed up, obviously. My friend Debbie, who delayed her surgery to come to the show.
Hold on. Your dad was there?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you introduce me to your dad?
I don't know. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, I didn't, it, I would have, but it just, it, the moment didn't happen.
That seems strange to me. I didn't know that until just now.
You embarrass
him. You don't think it's weird? Is that why? Why would you not want me to meet your dad?
No, my dad listens to the podcast occasionally. He likes you.
That's so, dude, that's a Robbie move. That's a strange thing to do.
Yeah, I didn't introduce him to anyone, though. I mean, he knows Tawanda. They've met a couple times. So they talked for a little bit.
I get it, but right now your attitude is like, yeah, okay, I didn't do it. I mean, no. You know, there's no explanation. You just decided that I should meet your dad?
No, I didn't make that decision. I just, he was walking out and I didn't make a point to stop. It was, you know what? It was right when that thing happened with the waitress.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
And that got all weird. Maybe we'll talk about that.
I have to agree that what Joe is sensing, I sense too, that it's like, well, you know, it just kind of happened that way. Honestly, I think this would be one of those things. If you have not introduced Joe to your dad, you would have made a point. You would have said, hey, stay after the show and meet my partner, Joe. And you didn't do that.
No, I didn't. And I'm generally uncomfortable with combining my worlds. So
okay, so that was the reality of it. It wasn't that there wasn't a chance, it's that you didn't want that to happen.
No, it's that I didn't purposely not do it, but it didn't dawn on me that, oh, I should make sure that this happens. I mean, clearly if you were right next to each other, I would have said something.
Yeah, she'd be like, oh, this is my dad.
Right. But
did your dad enjoy himself?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a fun show.
He was very
one thing that did happen. We were walking in, and you saw somebody that you thought was there to see the show, but she looked awkward and was like, "No, no, I'm here to see Deadpool." And she went into the movies. This was somebody.
My
I guess you went to
dad
high school. With.
Dated a woman, and she ended up moving in, and she brought her kids. End up living for a little bit with us. And that girl that you saw at the time, I was like 19. She was like, I don't know, 11 or 12 or something, maybe 13, 14. But I sort of, I don't know, they grew up a little bit while I knew them. And then I literally had seen her.
Stepsister is what you're saying.
Well, I guess. But I saw her for the first time in like 20 years this past December at my dad's Christmas party. And then we became Facebook friends and we had commented on stuff together. And so then when I saw her, granted we're there 2 hours early, but I see her, she sees me and she looks away and she sort of frowns and I'm like, that's weird. And I go, hey Aaron, you here for the show? Just no. And just keeps walking.
Yeah, it was awkward.
It is weird because it's like she must have known that the show was happening, otherwise she would have been like, hey, what are you doing here, right?
So I want you to look to see how many Facebook friends she has, because if she has like 100, then she definitely knows. You posted about it
she
seven
knew.
Times.
Because she would have, if she saw me and didn't know I was going to be there, she would have been like, hey, what's going on? It's cool.
Right. But
she
it was
clearly,
awkward.
She knew. And then she realized, oh, I know that you're here. And instead of coming to my show, you came to go see The Revenant. But whatever.
Was there anyway, some my friend, odd childhood touching or something going on?
Whoa.
Good question, Marcus.
No. No, there's no odd child.
Was there some regular childhood touching that wasn't odd?
No, there was nothing like that. No. Okay. Like I said, I just saw her at Christmas. It was cool. But her reaction did surprise me. Because like, I don't care. Just say you couldn't make it.
Yeah,
you just lied. So you wanted to see the movie, then you had to go do something. I don't know.
Maybe that's why you didn't introduce me to your dad, because I was right there for that. And that was an awkward moment. So you're like, I don't want to have to go through that again.
No, I should have. I know it's not like you're not someone who's important to me, Joe, that I wouldn't introduce to my family. It's just.
Well, I swear to you, my feelings aren't hurt. I'm not. I mean, I know we spent enough time together. I know that we're good, but it is strange to me. I think it's something about your dad. I don't think it's something about me.
No, I mean, he would like you. I mean, I know he likes you. So it's this. You would get along.
Of course he would like me. Yeah. Why wouldn't he like me?
But I mean, you would, you know, politically, you two are much more in line than, say, my mother and you would be. Not that you guys would talk politics, but.
Probably not.
But Debbie was there. We used to call her Double D Debs because she has huge breasts. She delayed her surgery. And then my friends Chris and Christy and Francis were there. But I had a bunch of people. You know that when I told the story about the flag football team?
Yes, yeah. The one guy said he was great and he sucked.
Yeah, all those guys were supposed to be there, basically. Even one guy's like, yeah, can I bring my kid? He's 16. I made a point to be able to get him in, and then nothing, doesn't show. Meanwhile, I did a show.
It was strange. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying, meanwhile, I did a show at the Bright Box Theater, which is in downtown Winchester, which is a cool room that Irwin, a comedian guy we know, books back there a year and a half ago. And I met these people at that show that are regulars that have a meetup group. We became Facebook friends. I post the show. That guy who I've met once in my life says, hey, I'm going to invite the meetup group. He brought 12 people. He's responsible for 12 people, more than people that I've known for 30 years. So that guy delivered 12 people. And his wife
was in the
show, was part of the.
Oh, yeah, Kathy.
Yes, she was one of the best people on the show.
She was. She Facebook friended me the next day.
Yeah. You marshaled.
What was strange?
Facebooked him too.
That marked our sixth out of our last seven shows being sold out.
Yeah.
But what was strange was that you tell me if it counts. When we showed up there, they put up a sign that said sold out. They could not, for the last 2 hours, they couldn't sell any more tickets. I'm like, cool, I'm counting the money. I know exactly how many seats are in there, and I know how much money we make when every seat is filled. I'm like, this is going to be great. But then when the show starts, there's about 45 empty seats.
Yeah, end up being.
Was there some sort of why? I mean, did you ever ask why that happened?
I did, and I have not heard an answer yet on that note.
Well, I'm very, very interested because, I mean, that cost us. You know, 45 times whatever. Now, I'm not saying every seat would have sold.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't have sold zero tickets.
Right.
Well, right?
Who knows? That does bother me. Because that, you know, that's going to be our money. When we start getting above certain points, that's where Joe and I make our money. But whatever.
Yeah. Now, I just lost my train of thought.
I want to talk about the two people in the show that were.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
So. This show is called The Newly Dead Game. It's based on it's a TV game show. That's the idea that you're on the set of this taping of this TV game show. And it starts off like The Newlywed Game, where you have four couples on stage. We've separated them beforehand. We've asked the wives questions, and now the husbands have to match the answers. You know the show. So we have, you know, two of the couples are basically cast members, and then we have two real life couples that we just draw from the audience. And every single time they get that this isn't a real game show. This trip to Hawaii that you win is not real.
But they really play the game.
Yes, so they play the game.
Four questions are asked. They still are trying to match, but you know, I think it's pretty clear when you pay, you know, what you paid and then somebody is murdered that it's not a real game show.
Yes, and we're also representing that this is being recorded for TV, and there's zero video cameras, so you can't think that this is really happening. Or maybe you can.
Well, you'd have to be really, really dumb to think it was real.
Well, I think Beth qualifies. We had a couple, Rob and Beth, and she ended up sitting next to Tawanda, and apparently she was really hammered. She was hammered before and just kept drinking. I think it was a double-digit beer. And this is a 5 p.m. show, so this is you got to start early. So there's one point where we ask the question, what celebrity does your wife think you most resemble? And her husband says Danny Lingo, who's just a friend of his. He's not a celebrity. Because his wife or his girlfriend, I guess, had whispered to him to say that. Now, the key to this question is, no, it's celebrity. It's not just somebody you know. So they couldn't grasp that.
Can I tell you something real quick? So the woman, when Katie's the one who, girlfriend Katie's the one who went and asked her the questions.
Right.
And when she said, what celebrity does your boyfriend most resemble? You know what answer she gave?
Danny Lingo? No.
Correct, Danny Lingo. And Katie said, well, no, it has to be a celebrity. So she gave whatever different answer that, you know what I mean? Whatever right. the answer. So, of course, when the guy said Danny Lingo, that made her mad because, of course, we didn't know this at the time, but right. she thought she was playing for a trip to Hawaii.
Yes, so she thinks she's been cheated.
And now she thinks, wait a minute, that girl told me to not to say Danny Lingo. I would have gotten this right. Okay, that's so that yeah. happened.
And meanwhile, Justin and Tommy, who play a couple in this, they're getting all their questions right because it's not fucking real, okay?
Right, and of course, their answers are hilarious.
And they're over the top and ridiculous. It would make no sense.
Now, the very second answer that was given, when they say, what celebrity does your significant other most resemble? I'll just tell. The answer is Beyonce. That's the answer that's written, okay? Yeah. Now, obviously, Justin or Tommy, I don't remember who's who, but which one we're guessing, but neither one of them look like the hottest black woman on the planet.
Maybe they do to Scott Apple. I don't know.
So, of course, they get it right. He holds up the card and says Beyonce, and the girl, this what's her name again?
Beth
goes, this is fucking bullshit. She's pissed. She's like, this is fake. This is yes, bitch, of course it's fake.
So then the final question is describe your sex life with a movie title. She whispers to him, so she's cheating, to her man, Fast and the Furious. Sort of a funny answer. He says, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Which doesn't make sense.
He didn't hear her cheat. He didn't hear the correct cheat.
I think he just heard fast and just, and yeah. That's what he went with. So, I make fun of that answer. She gets mad. Then she storms off.
Well, hold on. It's better than that because she gets mad, but then the next question, Justin dies. He's dead. So now you have a dead body on the ground. And that's when she's like, enough. I've had enough. And she storms out. Meanwhile, if she would have thought about it, maybe she has a chance because the couple that was waiting, one of them's dead now.
Right.
If she actually thought she was in a game show, she would have stayed seated. So before even the scene is over,
yeah.
she's up in her seat eating chicken tenders. She left.
Which has never happened before. If anything, they don't know when to leave. They don't know what to do. But they never just leave. So then we have an act two. There's always... more audience roles. And what happens is this particular person is playing the sister of one of the deceased in this case. And you get a booklet, a notebook, which has all your lines. You don't have to memorize. You can literally, and we recommend you do, just literally read from it. And the detective comes over, he asks you questions, and you see that, and then you answer. And at one point, there's an ellipses, a dot, dot, dot.
And is that what it's called?
I believe.
It's a pause, if that's what it's called, yeah.
Yeah. This girl reads the sentence and then says dot, dot, dot. So then everyone's laughing. I don't even know if she knows why. Then Sean, as one of our cast members, comes up for his lines and proceeds to just say, and then he went over there and did this, exclamation point. But then I'm wondering, why would he wear that, question mark? So then Justin started doing it. So and then even other people that were audience members, Kathy, this one we just mentioned, who we like, she came up and she added that. So it became this whole thing that made the show even funnier.
Any chance that Beth was related to the guy you talked about last week who couldn't get the concept of t-shirts?
It's possible.
Well, that guy was just being a dick. Yeah, that guy wasn't dumb. He felt entitled. This woman was dumb. I think that's the difference. But one thing I wanted to add, and I don't know if you even know this, Rob, but at the end, Rob gives the trip to Hawaii to someone or something. It's all improv'd, but at the end he goes, hey, we still have a trip to Hawaii to give away. And in this case, he gave it to Danny Lingo, the fake friend, right? And the girl who said the dot, dot, dot. Well, when you said that, the woman, she threw her arms up. She's like, oh, seriously? They weren't even playing the game. She once, and we had already made fun of her about 10 times on stage for not knowing that it wasn't real. And I think it wasn't sinking in.
We should have actually gotten information and told her that we were giving her a trip to Hawaii and just seen how long we could keep this going on.
Well, a guy I work with made up, because I told him the story, brought up a good point. You know, there are these things that says, hey, win a free trip to Jamaica, whatever. And you actually do win a trip, but then they do this heavy pressure sales to try to get you to buy. Right, right.
Debacle.
Well, we can just say, hey, we're giving away a trip to wherever and just give somebody a trip to that place. You know, they're buying a timeshare for, you know, 100 grand or whatever.
We might have been able to milk her for more, but other than that, it was a good show. Yeah, so hopefully we'll be back there because, you know, we did have a good time. And maybe I'll get more people, more friends to show up. But we'll get the meetup group. They're going to come back 12 deep at least. So there's that.
We had a pretty cool car ride. I was with Justin Schlegel, Tommy Simbazo, myself, and girlfriend Katie for the whole ride. And we were doing Dealer's Choice music. That's what we were doing on the way back.
Right.
Well, these guys, I hope I have it right. Baby metal, Asian baby metal, I believe is what Tommy and Justin are a fan of. Yes. It's Asian girls, and they are, I guess, I don't know if they're before puberty or just, you know what I mean? They're like in like the, you know, sixth grade, right?
Right.
And they play metal. So Justin says, listen, when those guys, if they come anywhere up the 95 corridor, we're going. We'll go, as far north as Philadelphia and as far south as, you know, Richmond, but we're going. Well, guess what? They're at the Fillmore in Silver Spring, May 10th. I now have to go see this band.
They're adding to your list of concerts. You have quite the six deep now. You're going this.
Hold on. I got to make sure I got the name right. Give me a second here. Hold on. Because I screenshotted it. Hold on. Let me get here. Baby Metal World Tour 2016, May 10th at the Fillmore in Silver Spring. I will be there.
But you're going to go with Tommy and Justin, right?
Yeah, it'll be fun. No,
that'll be fun. You can go anywhere with them. It's going to be fun.
Yes, I realize that. But, I mean, it lasts a lot of your ears. Also, Tommy played a lot of Gwar, and Katie heard Gwar for the first time.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun. I was in the car with Tawanda and Eric Woodworth, and Eric told a story about he prevented a woman from being raped, which sounds like a heroic tale, right? So I'm thinking, you know, some guy was, you know, getting handsy and he beat him up, or this woman was, you know, yelling for help and he rescued, or he did something, right? No, this is the story. He's in college. He asks this girl. He starts to hit on her. She blows him off. He gets angry. He just takes her drink and chugs it. And then he figures out that it was roofied.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
And then he feels the effect. So in his mind, whoever tried to do that, whoever planted that, slipped her that, he intercepted it like a hero. But really, he was just stealing her drink because he didn't like her rejection.
Hold on. Eric drank the roofie drink or somebody else did?
Eric did. Eric, he hits on the girl. The girl's like, whatever, blows him off. He's like in his mind, F you. So he just takes her drink and chugs it.
Did Eric have to go to the hospital?
No, but he did say he had no, and he kind of blacked out. And then next thing you know, he was at a gay party, which is an interesting part of the story, but I don't want to.
Man, he's lucky that he did. Yeah. I mean, maybe he did. Maybe that's part of the story. Maybe just he left out.
But no, we carpooled down to beautiful Winchester, but Tawanda and Eric get along really well.
Well, of course. I mean, everybody gets along with Tawanda and Eric.
You know, he starts talking about his daughters and, you know, girls love that stuff. You know, he's good with that. Let's take a break. What do we want to talk about? There's something big. Anyway, we'll figure it out. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come out, I think Thursday or Friday is going to be huge because we have Rob Spiewak with us in Leesburg at the Tally Ho Theater. Honestly, by the time you hear this, it might be sold out because there's 35.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think today there were 32 tickets left.
Yeah.
So you're probably not going to be able to see it. I do know this. Rob Spiewak sent us a message saying, "Hey, do you mind if I bring two other couples with us?" And we had to say yes. You have to say yes. It's Rob, the greatest guy in the world.
But, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just, we're paying for those couples to be, me and you are. It's not like there's going to be empty seats.
I will gladly pay that. Yes. Oh, it's either that or pay. It's either that or pay for Rob's, bar tab. And this is probably less expensive.
No, this is way better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Way better.
I think we're getting the better deal there. Any feedback if Mike O'Mara dislikes you? Anybody talk to you about that, Joe?
No, I haven't heard a word about that. I wonder if those guys. I mean, I doubt Mike listens to the show.
Probably not.
So someone will have to report that to him.
JL Covan, our buddy from The Righteous Prick, give his podcast a listen. He's going to be at the Improv coming up. Damn it. He just said it on the show. I want to say.
Who's he with?
Clayton English. Just go to the dcimprov.com. Clayton English. You'll see it.
English was just at the Baltimore Comedy Factory this past week.
Yeah, he just won the Last Comic Standing.
All right.
But JL says we should have a segment every week. How much will Katie charge?
Yeah, Justin Schlegel also liked that segment, but that's of course because she said if she was single that she'd just have sex with Justin. That, you know, so that's
March 31st to April 3rd. Go see the DC Improv, JL Covan, March 31st, April 3rd. Well, is Katie there?
Yeah, she is. I think so.
Well, what about JL? That's a success.
Hey, Katie.
He's a large man. You got to think he's packing something.
Are you here? Oh, I think she went grocery shopping.
Wow.
How are you much? Just a guess?
Yeah, we'll guess.
I don't know.
Let's go over
$100.
$50,000 for Restivo. So it's going to be lower.
It's going to be less than Restivo. Yeah. It's also going to be less than Apple, probably, right?
But is she concerned about?
I got you.
6'7". Is she concerned?
Yeah.
About parts.
She's certainly not used to that.
I'm going to say she's going to say stick with her $25,000.
I can't even speculate. It would be not gentlemanly of me. Now, if she were here, then I'd ask her directly.
Now.
Tomorrow's her birthday, by the way. Do you know that?
Happy birthday, Katie. What are you doing? I know you're taking her to, was Carrie Underwood Valentine's or a birthday?
Yeah. So, dude, I'm telling you what, man. This is what happens when you date. It's a week. This is a show. I'm going to, she's not here, so I can tell you what I'm doing. I'm gonna win Boyfriend of the Year. I'm going to dinner with her family on tomorrow on her actual birthday.
Okay. Who pays? Do you pay or does the family pay?
I always offer to pay. It's a big stink. I've never successfully been able to do that, but I'm not one of these guys that are like, okay. Right. I really want to pay, but it's hard to do.
Sure.
Oh, Katie's here now. Hey, how much for JL Covan?
Is he the big guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, less than Restivo. Yep, she said she's scared of what he's got. So that's going to make a difference.
Probably
$20,000. Still not too high of a number. I can no longer tell the story, though, that I was going to tell. You have to go because I'm saying what we're doing for your birthday week. So don't listen. There she goes. So I got the birthday dinner. And then on Thursday, Carrie Underwood. And then on Friday, we have the murder mystery. On Saturday, I'm going to the Kennedy Center to the ballet.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me? I'm doing that.
Wow.
Then to the Capitol Grill and then home.
Would she express interest in this, obviously?
Of course. Yeah, she loves dancing. And she's showing me videos on YouTube of these people who are, very talented, so graceful and all this stuff.
This is the Kennedy Center?
Yep.
Do you wear a suit for that?
I'm not going to wear a suit. So,
what do you dress for? That seems like a formal affair.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can't wear a wolf shirt, Joe.
But what do you mean? No, I'll probably wear just khakis and a button dizzle, right?
No, jacket and tie.
Yeah, I think you do.
It's a jacket and tie affair minimum.
It's the Kennedy Center, so that amps it up.
Do I need to bring binoculars?
Depending on where you got your seats.
I'm not sure I have horrible seats.
I don't even know what happens in the ballot. Is there, I know there's a band also, but is there singing?
I don't think so. Is there, right? I think they
dance.
Now here's the thing. I think our reservations are like at 6 for dinner. I think the ballet's like at 3. So I'm hoping just leave and be like, hey, I don't want to miss dinner. Let's roll.
Right, it's in the not middle be of the 3 hours long.
Right in the middle of the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Are you gonna know what's going on?
No, how would I know what's going on? Of course I'm not.
What are the odds you fall asleep?
I won't fall asleep. I'm not going to go through all this and then get in trouble. That's not going to happen.
Do you get in trouble if you fall asleep? If you're really trying, it's not your fault you don't like it.
No.
Snoring's bad.
Oh, but I snore. You know what I mean? I got to have one. I got a CPAP. Of course I'm going to snore.
Not have that. Do they sell hot dogs? Do you eat?
I'm going to save my appetite for after.
Of course.
I bet they serve drinks, but you know me, we don't really drink.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. She's going to want a glass of wine. She's going to feel like I'm at the ballet. I'm having wine.
Yeah, probably.
She's going to dress up.
Whatever she wears is going to dictate what I wear.
Wow, you did well. That's good. I am. So you have what I have, and the Valentine's Day birthday. Back.
Yeah, I know.
I have the birthday first. February 2nd for Tawanda, then Valentine's Day. But I'm on.
I also got a gift, by the way. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I also had to get. I also got a gift. So you can't just get events; you have to give them something.
A tangible thing, right?
Yeah.
I am on a roll right now, with buying Tawanda clothes. Everything I've gotten, I'm killing it. Christmas, Valentine's, and her birthday. Everything I bought her. It fit, she loved it, and she wore it immediately. Now, there's this place I go in the mall, Buckle. It's a cool store. We have men's clothes, too. We got cool jeans. I never buy jeans, though, because it's hard. It's a size. You don't buy a girl jeans. That's too complicated. But what I like about it is they always have hot chicks that work there, and they'll put together the outfit for you. They'll be like, well, let's get this and this little thing. And it's not crazy expensive. You know, it's like Macy's prices or something. But it's hipper, cooler clothes, in my opinion. And they have little costume jewelry, and they'll put it all together. Well, I go there for Christmas. No, it was her birthday. I go there to get something for her birthday. And it was no hot chicks. It was gay guys working.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn it. And I ended up just doing it myself. Killed it. She loved what I got her.
Oh, you didn't let the gay guys get it, put the outfit together?
Because I picked something and then he helped with a necklace thing. He sort of affirmed me, which I liked, but I did it myself. Right. I did it all.
Yeah, but I mean, would he say no? I mean, you got it right. I'm not saying that you did, but would Tawanda say I don't like it?
No, what she would do, and she's done this before, is we'll just go back, we'll return it, and she'll get something else, which is fine, because she likes that store.
Yeah, I think Katie would do that, too. I think if I got something Katie she didn't like, she would say, no, I don't like it.
Well, I don't want to spend money, and then you just sit in your closet. I want you to end up getting something you like. But she's literally worn these things immediately, so I know she likes it. So I'm on a roll for that. For Valentine's Day, Tawanda got me. I have like an office now, which is cool. And she got me like a little like a Nerf basketball to hang on the door.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a plastic, not even Nerf, but I love it. I'll just sit there and shoot baskets. When I get a couch in here, it's nice. You're coming over. We're having a little contest. We're playing horse.
Dude, we have finishing touches to put on the murder mystery. How come you have an office? Why aren't you in there?
Well, because I am in here working. I'm doing the podcast in here. I'm writing stuff and killing it. But we don't have a couch in here yet. You can't come over. We can't write together here yet.
Yeah, but you can. You and I aren't meeting until Wednesday to put the finishing touches on it. I mean, it'd be nice for you.
It'd
be nice for you to do a bunch of work on it before you come with a, pretty much finished product.
I want to do a bunch of work. I like to just do it my way. But I don't like typing. That's why I like you. Ideally, I just say it and then you just type it and you don't argue with what I say.
I don't know. No, we were killing it last time we wrote. We were in concert.
Yeah, we were in concert. Concert, whatever. But you're winning, though. That's good. You got the ballet. You got the Carrie Underwood. It's a heck of a week for Katie.
It's a heck of a week for me. That's a lot. I got the podcast. This is my off night. I got the kids on Wednesday, and then you and I are meeting at 8 o'clock to write.
Yeah.
Then I got Carrie Underwood. Then I got a murder mystery in Northern Virginia on Friday. And then I got, the ballet on Saturday. The Oscars are Sunday. I was thinking about having a party, Ian.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Oscar party.
All right.
If you're listening to this and we're friends and you didn't get an invite, I must have just overlooked you.
I'll see you then.
Marcus, you are certainly invited, my friend. No Mermelstein, though.
That's fine.
Can we mention what Mike Chamberlain said about one of our cast members?
I mean, why not? I don't see why we wouldn't be able.
Do we say?
I can read it verbatim if you want.
Do we say the name?
He's
a sensitive one.
Then Mike Chamberlain.
You know, Mark Chamberlain
did an open audition for, I guess, a play that is he directing it?
He said he saw a dude audition today with a cattle call of non-union DC actors. So he had to be there in some capacity.
This is the quote. It says, "He was nothing special in any way, totally average and not memorable. After he finished, he put his resume on the pile and noticed the credit, Die Laughing Productions." That means this is somebody from the murder mystery. Then it says he claims to be a professional stand-up. He was not especially funny, and then gives his name. Now, I will say that his name was not mentioned on the podcast today. Also want to say that this guy is a really good stand-up. So that's a very unfair thing for Mike.
Really
I have
good
no idea.
In our murder mysteries.
He's really very good in our murder mystery, too. But he apparently did not wow anybody at this particular audition.
Actually, I think he might have been mentioned.
Oh, really?
Robbie Robinson?
Robbie Robinson.
Well, you know what?
Robbie Robinson is not particularly funny.
Enough of the hints, but he was mentioned. We'll tell him when we see him, but he might get upset. We had that idea of auditioning for Chamberlain. How is this not happening?
Me and you?
Yeah. Remember, we're going to have a contest. Who's going to do better?
One thing that I've noticed about this murder mystery is I think other than writing them, and organizing them, I think almost everybody is better in the murder mystery than I am.
You think you're the worst on stage?
I mean, I never give my... Although I thought I was pretty good in the Christmas one. So
you were good in the Christmas one, but that was... You had to just be a dick to people. That was in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. God, I wish I could just do that in all of them. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't mind when you're not in it because I feel a little guilty. I don't do anything about it, but you do a lot of the... Not all, but... Not a lot, but all of them.
Yeah, but the reason I like to be in them, yes, you're right. I do a lot of the prep. But the reason that I like to be in them is not because of any ego. It's because then we don't have to pay an extra person.
Right. Yeah. It's all about the bottom line. Marcus, good to have you back. You had some surgery.
Bud.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah, we can talk about it. And let me just say,
breast reduction.
Yes, I'm trying to. It's part of the whole transformation process. Let me first say, let me go back to something you guys said, because you guys both had that double whammy of Valentine's and birthdays. Yeah. I had Valentine's Day and wedding anniversary.
Well, that's right.
My wedding anniversary was yesterday. So for Valentine's Day, I gave her the pleasure of surviving surgery. And then for our anniversary, we ran away to Montreal for the night. So kept it simple.
How far away is Montreal?
Hour and a half.
It's good strip clubs in Montreal. Did you go? Did you partake?
It was offered up, and I said, no, I'd rather go get a drink.
Did you wear my T-shirt?
I did not.
You know what? If I was going to have major surgery, it is good to schedule it on Valentine's Day. Because you can't, birthday, you can't. If you forget a birthday or you overlook a birthday, that's an unforgivable sin. But Valentine's Day, you know, you can get away with that.
Yeah,
it was scheduled.
You have to have a couple more.
Scheduled on the 11th, so it happened just before, but I was a complete mess for about a week and a half after the surgery.
You got some good pain pills? You got some good stuff?
Yes. They gave me hydrocodone, which was good and bad because I had some side effect issues. And at the same time...
What, poop issues?
Yes. And that caused me to go back to the emergency room.
Oh.
Really? To get the crap out of you?
Yes.
What did you do? Did you eat cheese and stuff with it?
No. The problem was that... After surgery, so I've got some pretty significant health things going on right now. This first procedure, and there's going to be probably at least one, maybe two more this year. But this one is to solve my breathing problem. So I had some sinus surgery done. And so right now I feel like Mike Tyson has punched me in the face. So I had stents up in my nose. I couldn't sleep more than maybe an hour or two at a time. And even then, I couldn't accumulate any time. It was terrible. So I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't really eating. What I was eating had to be soft due to the fact that I couldn't breathe. So
what'd you eat? What did you eat? Get milkshakes?
Yogurt and mac and cheese was what I had day two. But, I mean, it was like yogurt and liquids. That was about it.
Do you have black eyes right now?
No. The guy did a really great job, so I didn't end up with black eyes.
But you say you have more procedures coming, right?
Yeah, I have some pretty significant problems that we're still trying to determine what's actually going on. But in order to get to the point of really addressing some of those other issues, we had to deal with my breathing. I've had a deviated septum, and my sinuses were closed up, so I couldn't breathe through my sinuses anymore. And it was causing me significant problems.
Well, you have
problems.
To breathe. I'm glad you fixed that.
Marcus, this is important because now that we've said all we've said about Robbie since you started helping us out, we can't go back to just him. You can't die on us, Marcus.
No, do not die. Whatever we have to do.
Well, based on Merle Rogers' notes from last week, I would say that is correct.
I was also going to make a suggestion. And that's that when you plan your next surgery, if you have other surgeries, make sure that you do it near a holiday. It's going to save you know how much money it's going to save you if you just have it like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. You can only do it 2 days prior to your birthday.
You're a smart man.
Yeah. So
a couple
it looks
days
like,
prior
so,
to Christmas.
So then we're talking September for the next one.
Can it wait that long?
Unknown. Waiting for test results.
Ask Katie how much for Marcus.
She has never seen Marcus. She doesn't know Marcus. Oh. I can ask her, but, you know.
I didn't breathe that well. Is that sexy?
Oh, I breathe much better now. My kissing has improved and many other talents.
Miggity Mac wants us to ask how much for Gramps.
That's going to be awkward. Hey, Katie.
That's icky.
We're going to end the show on this, by the way.
We'll probably end more than just the show.
How much for Gramps?
I'm not answering that.
Sorry. $1 million? She said more, but she mouthed it.
How much for Marcus Serta?
She didn't say that.
She doesn't know Marcus. How much for Marcus?
Marcus.
She doesn't know what he looks like.
Will Johnson, a Facebook friend listener, says he'd come up with $5,000.
That's not going to be enough. I see Will's picture. That's not going to be enough.
How about Amy Michelle Berger?
No, I'm not going to ask that.
Amy Michelle Berger says she messaged. Amy messages. I don't know if y'all do birthday shout outs like TMOS does, but Jeff Hancock's birthday is February 27th. We do not do birthday shout outs. So Jeff Hancock, we will not acknowledge your shitty lame ass birthday on February 27th.
I saw that message. Amy got mad at you because you didn't respond in time.
Yeah. Well, I responded on the show. That's better.
That is better. Yeah.
Can't have it both ways.
So hopefully Amy is, she's okay now. With your lack of response.
How much for Eric Woodworth?
Hey, Katie, last one. Here she comes.
You, not only do you know Eric, you've seen him almost naked about seven
times. How much for Eric Woodworth?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know, like 5 or 10 grand.
5 or 10 grand.
He's got that.
If I were Eric, I'd be talking her down to 10, yeah, to 5.
Well, let's get Eric Woodworth $5,000 and get Katie to leave Joe.
Yeah, we can raise that.
Man, we can make that happen. That's the show, everybody. Hopefully, we'll see you in Leesburg. I'm sure we're going to meet some new fans because there'll be some TMOSers there for SPWAC. And hopefully, we can convert them and bring them over to us because they're going to love our murder mystery. Tally Ho Theater, Leesburg, only a few tickets left. Just go to Die Laughing Productions on Facebook and you'll see all the shows. See you guys.
Later.
Omera Radio Entertainment.